Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Nick Todd said this morning, how are you going to convince them that Christ is risen when you look half, and he stopped. I know, half dead. Let's do it again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Justin, for stepping in last minute to help me out here and to help me save my voice as we share with you the good news of our Lord's resurrection from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the good news of Easter. Please be seated. Well, you know, it's been my experience that when hope falls flat on its face, we all say pretty much the same thing, don't we? We say, you know, well, what can you expect? You've said it. I know I've said it. And I've got a hunch that in every language on the face of the globe, pretty much everybody has a similar kind of phrase, a way of saying something like this. Well, what can you expect? Somebody who has disappointed you 100 times disappoints you again. Well, what can you expect? You try to implement change, but you are prevented from doing so by those who are entrenched in the old ways. Well, what can you expect? You pick up a paper and you read about the skyrocketing health costs when we were promised the opposite. Well, what can you expect? You're praying for a family whose loved one is sick and they start to get well. And it begins to look for a while like he or she might actually get through this thing, might make it through this disease, when suddenly everything turns south again. And not too long after that, in the quiet of a hospital room, after all the monitors have been turned off and the beepings have stopped and the doctor has left the room and the Kleenex has been passed around, somebody in the corner of the room says, well, what can you expect? It seems that whenever we dare to hope that life can be different, that things can improve, that maybe miracles do happen, that maybe the weak won't always be oppressed by the strong, whenever we dare to hope, only to have life turn out like it always does, well, what can you expect? Don't you think that that's what the two Marys and what Salome were thinking on that Easter morning as they made their way to the grave? Well, we know exactly what they were thinking because they were carrying the evidence of what they were thinking. Mark says they brought spices so that they might anoint him. You don't bring burial spices for someone you believe to be alive. They knew what they were expecting. Someone probably would greet them at the entrance to the cemetery and they would say, I'm sure sorry about your friend and your loss. And the women would say, well, what can you expect? They knew exactly what to expect. A stiff, cold body wrapped in a shroud. Dead since Friday afternoon, so they probably carried handkerchiefs to cover their nose and their mouth because they knew what to expect. And they expected that all the anger that they had been feeling would well up in them again at the Roman government, that they did this terrible injustice to an innocent man that they loved. And they expected all that grief to come flooding back when they pulled back the shroud and they saw his lifeless form. They expected to make the visit, to pay their respects, to anoint the body properly, and then to go back to the world that was the same as it has always been. A world in which we are born to die, and there's never anything new under the sun. Saying to themselves, well, what can you expect? The last thing they expected that morning when they went to that tomb was a young man dressed in dazzling white sitting on the right side of the tomb entrance. And the last thing they expected him to say was, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Now that they definitely did not expect. But it's precisely what happened. And the church has been telling this outlandish story ever since. A story about something that happened that we would not have expected in a million years. And I want to ask you this morning, has Easter changed your expectations of things in this world? I know it has mine. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Just as surely as I stand before you today and my diseased, weak body stands here, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I have seen too many people go to their deaths in perfect peace because of this story, not to believe it. I have seen too many people, when the world has taken away everything that was precious to them, nevertheless live their lives with defiant joy because of this story, not to believe it. I see too many radical changes in the lives of these disciples. And I have seen too many people so radically changed by this story. And to have seen their willingness to give up their families and their homes and to suffer and to even die and to sacrifice everything they have to get this story out. Not to believe it. God did something amazing in that cemetery. Something way beyond our expectations. He raised up his dead son. And in that incredible act, he reversed the whole order of things. Now the river, the flow of our lives, runs backwards. From war to peace. From tears to joy. From death to life. From the casket to the kingdom. From the ruins of this old creation to the splendor of the new. And I put all my Easter eggs in the basket of this story. As far as I'm concerned, God's train stops here at the empty tomb, or it stops nowhere. If there's no Easter, there's no hope. There's no forgiveness. There's no life. And all that remains is, well, what you would expect. The same old world in which there's never anything new under the sun. If Christ is not raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But if he is raised, that is the single greatest fact of history. It is the pivotal moment in the human story that dramatically and unexpectedly changes the course of our whole lives. And I know that the world would call me gullible for daring to believe such things, for daring to believe that grace is bigger than my sin, that life is more permanent than death, that hope is stronger than fear, that a glorious future will one day dawn upon the darkness of this world. The people out there, they believe that when all is said and done, I'm going to be the one that's disappointed. And they will be vindicated for having said, well, what can you expect? But their voices are all drowned out in my ears by the vast throng of people, past and present, for whom the resurrection of Jesus Christ has changed everything. And when this flesh rises, it is glorified like Christ. And when I see Him as He is, face to face in His glory, when my jaw drops in speechless wonder at the beauty of the new creation, and that I, the chief of sinners, that I should be welcome there, I will rejoice to hear my Savior say, well, after I ransomed you and rose again, what did you expect? Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah! Amen. My friends, may this peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.